You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jude. Jude. That's not just an old Beatles song. Hey, Jude, don't make it bad. No, that actually is a book in the Bible, Jude, and there's some truth there you know, you and I need to get a hold of. Hallelujah. Thank God for the book of Jude. I just want to center in on a couple verses there concerning salvation. Everybody say salvation. I want to start teaching a series on salvation and you know, what it means to be saved. Why we bother? You know, why is it that the world's going to hell and Christians are going to heaven? What's the big deal? You know, we're hit. If you watch a lot of TV, which you shouldn't, you probably watch more than you do, you should, and I watch more than I should, then you're constantly hit and bombarded with good people, seemingly good people, moral people that don't know Jesus. They don't talk about Jesus. They don't pray. They don't acknowledge God. I mean, we're getting to where we can't acknowledge God in anything. You know, you can't mention him in government. You can't mention him in school. You can't mention him, and they don't mention him on these shows, television shows. You don't see a lot of people on their knees praying and believing God. At least maybe you watch Blue Bloods. I think they pray at the table. And Duck Dynasty, they do pray, you know, and have a moral in every show. Thank God for shows that do that. Are you with me? But what happens is you just kind of get numb and you get anesthetized, use a big word, inoculated, you know, another big word. You get influenced to thinking that everybody's just kind of okay, you know, and you got gay people are okay, and now we're talking about gay marriage and like it's okay, people love each other, you know, it's okay as long as they love each other. And then, you know, you just see all this stuff going on. And we think, well, what's the big deal? I believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. You know, God's a good God. They're good people. Surely they'll make it. But really, that's not the case. Going to heaven's not a matter of being good. It's not a matter of being a good old boy. Well, he's a good old boy. Are you with me? Or he's a simple man. You know, all those kinds of things that we say, and thank God for good old boys and simple men. And thank God for morals and good people. But that's not going to get you to heaven. That's not why we're lost. And we need to understand that there is a real battle going on in the earth today. And there's a huge battle to keep people away from Jesus and not aware of who Jesus is. And we as Christians of all people need to shine our lights in love, not hate. We don't need to separate people and hate people and be hate mongers and condemn people and judge people. That's not, no judgment involved. I mean, we're all lost without Jesus. Doesn't matter what you've done or hadn't done. If you come to Jesus, he'll take you in. Took me in, he'll take you in. But I can't condone the sin. I can't say it's okay just because the world says it's okay. Hopefully you don't get your teaching from the TV. You need to get it from the Bible. Amen? And Jude here, and this is interesting. Jude I'm reading out a New King James Version, if you're following along with me here. It says, starts out in the first verse, says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which, no, I'm in the wrong book. That won't work. Must have hit a wrong button there. Jude. Yeah. Not that that's a bad book. Revelation is a good book. I love that book. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother James, to those who are called sanctified, set apart, you know, by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, I'm preserved in Jesus Christ. I'm not pickled. Preserved. I'm preserved. I'm kept. I'm kept from decaying and going to hell and all that. I'm safe and secure in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. That's a good way to start out in it. You know, the writers of the Bible do that, New Testament. They would say mercy, peace, love. And Paul would say grace and mercy be multiplied to you, you know. So God is all about mercy. He's all about love. He's all about grace. Hallelujah. So anybody come to him, he'll accept them. And the world out there just needs Jesus. That's all they need. So we don't hate them. We're not against them. We don't like what they're doing because God doesn't either, but we don't hate them. Are you out there? And he says, beloved, third verse, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I like that. Everybody say common salvation. You know, there's something common to us all. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, Catholic, and on and on and on, infinitum, you know, with the different churches we have. If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again, you are a Christian, you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you and I are going to live together forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And the first thing that's going to burn off when we get to heaven is the name of our local church. We need a name because we need a gathering place, and we need an identity, and we need to join up and lock arms and join resources and finances and faith and talents to make a difference, to impact a community. And that's why we have local churches. Thank God for them. Thank God for First Baptist. Thank God for United Methodist. Thank God for Church of Christ. Thank God for International Outreach Church. But that's not what makes us Christians. Are you out there? The common salvation, what's common to us all, is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what makes us Christians. That's why we're saved. We're not saved and we're not Christians because we're good old boys. Just a good old boy. Are you with me? No, that's not what's common amongst us, although we should be good. But good is not a word for Christian, and Christian is not a word for good. Sometimes we've confused those two terms, and we often say if something's good, we'll say that's the Christian thing to do. We've made Christian a description of moral activity, a description of being nice and being kind, but Christian means someone who believes in Christ, someone who believes in Jesus Christ. And I hope they're good. They could be mean. I don't know. You ever been mean after you got saved? We'll pray for liars when I get through the service here. You ever sinned after you got saved? Well, sure you have. That's not what makes you a Christian. That's not good. That's not right. I'm not condoning that. I mean, we don't need to sin. There are consequences to sin. But I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when I do something good, we already have a word for it. It's called good. We don't need to change the language and make Christian out to mean good. And good, I don't know what it means, because Christian means good. Oh, that's the Christian thing to do. Or you're not acting in a Christian manner. Well, now, wait a minute. Acting in a Christian manner means we're not showing Christ. That's, I can understand that. But there's a lot of people out there that are good that are not Christian, that do good things. And somehow we see that and we say, well, they're okay. They do good things. But see, that's not what saves us. And we'll get to the point where we think, well, you know, they're really okay. They're all right. They're doing a good thing. Look at all the good they're doing. Well, I thank God for all the good they're doing. Thank God for any good anybody does. But no amount of good you do or I do is going to get us to heaven. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came for a purpose and for a reason. Our common salvation is pretty plain, really. We needed a Savior, and He came, and He saved us from our sins. Hallelujah. And you and I trust in that and believe in that. And we're trying to get the world to see that, that they'll never be good enough, that God made a way for them to go to heaven. The gate's open. What are you doing in a prison? Hallelujah. Come to Jesus and be saved. Amen. Buddha taught a way to live, but a way to live is not going to get you to heaven. Are you with me? Muhammad taught about submission, submission, submission. But you can submit all you want to, but if you don't accept Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Submission is not the way, and just live in a certain way is not the way. The way is you've got to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to change the way you live, I agree. But none of that's going to save me. Mm-mm. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning your common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you, encouraging you, to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We ought to contend for this faith. We ought to contend for this belief, this faith, this trust in Jesus Christ that you and I have given ourselves over to. You know, the church does a lot of good things. We do the food ministry. We provide a Hallelujah night, you know, as an alternative for Halloween for kids, a safe environment for kids to come, parents to bring their children. But really underlying all that is it's an opportunity for us to share Jesus and to shine for Jesus. There's tracts about Jesus. The booths are about Jesus. And they hear skits about Jesus. And it's about Jesus. The good that we do has a purpose that they can see the Lord. Amen. The good that we do in the food ministry boils down to praying for people, letting them know that we care, that Jesus cares, that God loves them. And the greatest thing that we provide in the food ministry is prayer, really, not the food. Although we do the food because people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. You know, and so we do that to bring, we stand for something. We stand for Jesus. Amen. We're Christians. We're believers. We want people to come to Jesus. We're not trying to make the world nicer. If they don't get to Jesus, they can be nice all they want to. They'll still go to hell being nice. Hello. We want them to come to Jesus. We want our neighbors to come to Jesus. We want our relatives to come to Jesus. We want the world to see Jesus in us. We want people to know we do what we do because of Jesus. Amen? We contend for the faith. Hallelujah. The world is lost and they need a Savior. Well, there is one if they'll come to Him. You and I have come to Him. Turn to Genesis, if you would. Genesis, the first chapter. Let's talk about it and just, you know, talk about our common salvation for a moment here and talk about why. Why is it that we need a Savior? Why can't we just be good and go to heaven? You know, that's a good question. And it's an old story. It's in the Bible. It starts in the first chapter. And this talks about creation, you know. And it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if you go through the first chapter, He establishes some eternal law, I guess you'd say, or principles, as it were. If you notice that everything that God made, look in the third verse. Well, you know, the first verse says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, third verse, everybody say, God said. God said, let there be light. And notice what it says. And there was light. Now, if you go through here, everything that God made, you find that He made it by saying it. I think everybody would agree with that. I don't care what church you're from or go to. We all agree. God made everything. And it tells us how He did it. It says He did it by saying it. God said. In fact, that's what John, the Gospel of John, tells us in the first chapter, first verse, says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with Him. Without Him, the Word was not anything made that was made. So God spoke everything into existence. It's always been that way, always will be that way. That's the law of confession. That's something, a principle you see over and over. In fact, that was the third verse. Look at the sixth verse. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Notice the end of the seventh verse. And it was so. It what? It what He said. So that's a law we see through the Scripture, that whatever God says comes to pass. Law of confession. Amen? That's how He created everything. And so that's just an eternal law. You don't change it. God doesn't say one thing and something else happens. God says something and it happens. Amen? And then He goes on down and it talks about Him making... 11th verse, let's just jump to the 11th verse. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the herb that yields seed, the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. There it is again. God said, then it was so. First and last part of the verse. But notice another law here. Yielding seed, fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. Now that's a law we see today. I mean, you plant a watermelon seed, you don't get orange tree, you get a watermelon. You plant yellow squash, you get yellow squash because the DNA is in the seed and the seed's within itself. And you plant a tree and a tree grows and it starts, you know, dropping pecans or whatever. If it's a pecan tree, all of a sudden these little pecan trees start coming up. It's the law of like kinds is what that is. You have the law of confession, whatever God says happens, then you have the law of like kinds. That's the problem inherent with evolution. That's the problem you have, is that you might see some changes within a species where, you know, ears get longer and eyes get, you know, bigger, or a beak gets a little longer within a bird species, but you don't see species changing. You don't see that happening because of the DNA. You know, scientifically it's called DNA. You know, dogs don't turn into cats, and cats don't turn into rats, and rats don't turn into bats. I ran out of words that rhyme with ats, but anyway. You know, if you have a dog and it has babies, it's amazing that it has little dogs called puppies. Cows have cows, cats have cats. And that's the law of like kinds. Same thing, and that's what he talks about later on. He goes on and talks about everything bearing after its own kind. When he talks about the fish of the sea, and he talks about the animals, great creatures that he made. Everything bore after its own kind. It's a continual law. You see it over and over and over. You wonder where I'm going with this, and I will tie it all together in a moment. But if I were to plant, say, Easter lilies, that's what I would get. I mean, I'm not going to get a daisy if I plant an Easter lily. Are you with me? Because of like kinds. If you're going to raise cows, you need a couple of cows to start with. Going to raise dogs, you got to have a couple dogs, male and female, you know, to raise dogs. I mean, and we know that. I mean, this is common stuff. Just like our common salvation, that's just common sense. We know that. So we've got a law of confession, whatever God says happens, and we've got a law of like kinds. Everything bears after its own kind. It doesn't matter whether that's the plant world, doesn't matter whether it's the animal world, doesn't matter. And when you try to mess that up, you know, mess with that, you always mess up. I mean, you'll wind up producing something that's that can't reproduce, basically. You know, anytime you have a transmutation, as it were, between even sometimes the same species, you know, horses and donkeys, and you get mules, can't reproduce. Are you with me? I mean, that's pretty much the same species too, you know, but it's a little different, and we've tried to mess with it. You can graft trees, but you can't take the seed of one tree and make it something else. You have to graft into a tree to make it produce some other kind. Are you with me? That's just DNA. That's all like kinds. We understand that. So here we go. We go on to Genesis 1:26. Are you tracking with me? Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Well, I like that. That's good. After he talked about the birds there after their kind, and the fish of the sea after their kind, and the creeping thing that creeps upon earth after its kind, and animals after their kind, and the seed within itself bearing after its own kind, he said, "Let us make man after our kind." I'm not God, you're not God, but I'm saying we were made in his image. Often people accuse us of trying to make God like a man. No, we're not trying to make God like a man when we say he sees and he hears and he speaks and he has arms and his legs and he sits on a throne and he walks and he talks. No, we were made like him. We're not trying to make him like us. He made us like him. Albeit we're sinful and our body decays and we need a new body one day, which we're going to get. But God, according to the Word, says he made us like him. After his image, after his kind. God may be the creator of all that is, but he is only the father of mankind. God doesn't claim to be the father of the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the moon up above. And thank all love. You know the song. But he does claim to be the father of mankind. He's the creator of everything, but the scripture only claims that he is the father of mankind. So we were made in his image. And we were made perfect. And we were made holy. And we were made righteous. Adam had no sin in him, none at all. But as the story goes on, as you well know, they got into the garden and they ate the mango. Yeah, man eat, man go. You know, it really doesn't tell us what it is. We often talk about and call it an apple, but it just says he ate the fruit that he was told not to eat. And God told him, he says, "In the day that you eat that fruit, you will surely die." That's what he told him, pure and simple. So all of our problems go back to Adam. Everything, really, all sin goes back to Adam. All death goes back to Adam because nothing died before then. And the day he ate it, he died spiritually. He didn't die physically. He lived quite a while longer physically, but spiritually he died. And he was no longer righteous. He was now unrighteous. Y'all see that? Now here's a problem. This is what's wrong with mankind. What's wrong with mankind is not because he's good or bad or does good things or bad things. What's wrong with mankind is because he's born in unrighteousness. Why? Because our ultimate daddy, Adam, and mama, Eve, sinned, and when they sinned, they fell from God's grace, and they became unrighteous, and they died the day, spiritually, they died to God the day they ate that fruit they were supposed to eat of. Now, because of the law of like kinds, everyone that was born through them was born in sin. And the whole world lies in sin, because of what Adam did. So the problem here is a matter of who we are. It's not a matter of what we do. It's a matter of who we are. We're a doomed race. Stay with me. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why you have to be born again. Y'all catching this? These are biblical terms. This is what the Bible says. This is why you need to be saved. You need to be saved from your sin. You need to be saved from yourself. Now, how in the world is that going to happen? How can I be saved from myself? I'm born into slavery, born into sin. How can I be born out of that? You have to be born again. Woohoo! That's what's wrong with the world. That's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with me. That's why I had to get out of that old life, not just the way I was living, but I had to get out of that being I was, that person I was, and I had, can a leper change his spots? No. Can a man enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born again in that sense? No. But I could be born again spiritually from above. And when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was born not of the will of man, not of the will of flesh, nor blood, but I was born of God. Hallelujah. Woo. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. So I accepted Jesus in my life, 1975, May of 1975, and I was born again. I became a Christian. I didn't become a better person, nicer person, kinder person. Are you with me? I did change the way I lived, but something happened to me. I turned my life over to Jesus, and I had a whole new beginning. Truth be known, I'm only as old as you would be from 1975, and I kind of like that. I may start doing that, yeah. I was born in 1975. Oh yeah. I was born again. Are you getting me? Okay. And see, that's our common salvation. Our common salvation is Jesus. Turn to Romans 5, if you would. Hallelujah. This helping you? Man, this is what we ought to preach. Anybody can be saved. It doesn't matter what they've done or where they've been. If they'll come to Jesus, hallelujah, they can be saved. Salvation is a matter of a birth. It's a matter of being born again. See, and this talks about it here very plainly in Romans 5. Oh boy, that's good stuff. This really is better preaching. Y'all are amening. I need Brother Carl Baranczyk here on the front row. Listen, if Carl was here, Pastor Carl was here, he'd be going, "Oh, you're helping us, brother. Come on, you're helping us. Oh, no, stop now. Come on. Yeah, that's good. I need to say that again. Say that again." I mean, he's just constantly talking on the front row. You know, if you're sitting by him, you're going, quit, you know. And he doesn't. He just keeps talking. He is hilarious. Okay. Notice this 12th verse, 5th chapter, Romans. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world." Wait a minute. Through one man sin entered the world. Not through all of us. Through one man. Who is that? Who's he talking about? Adam. We just talked about that story. It's over in Genesis 3, you know, talks about the fall. Through one man, sin entered the world. We even call it the fall of man. And the problem was, you say, "Well, I didn't do that. He did that." Yeah, but the problem is, once he did that, everybody that was born through him, law-like kinds, was born unrighteous because he's unrighteous. That's the problem, see? And now we got this huge dilemma too, because if we're going to get someone to set us free, you need a free man to set you free. Nobody's born free. Everybody's born lost. Everybody's born in sin. Everybody's born a slave. Everybody's born a servant. How are we going to fix this problem? God came down and became a man. And he wasn't born through a man. He's just born through a woman. His daddy was God. So he didn't have the sin of the world when he was born in that manger scene. Remember that? 2,000 years ago in that manger scene, that was the master in the manger. That was the creator in the crib. That was God solving this problem. That was God himself coming, doing this thing. Do over. You ever done that, playing a game, make a wrong move, you want to do over? He did it over. And he sent Jesus, not born through man, but born through God, and God himself, Emmanuel, God with us, so he's born into the world without sin. In fact, he's the only guy down here without sin. He was the only one that was born in this earth without sin since Adam, and he blew it. Adam sinned, and then everybody was born in sin from Adam all the way to eternity. Everybody that's ever born in the earth is born in sin in that respect, and you must be born again. You know, I believe God's merciful. Little kids go to heaven before they know what's going on. Babies go to heaven. The Bible talks about that. But when you come to a knowledge of your sin, you come to a knowledge of right and wrong, you need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Are you with me? But here's Jesus taking care of this problem. By one man, sin entered the world, and death, of course, by sin. In fact, it goes on and says, "Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned, not morally, but all sinned through him." We all sinned in Adam. We're all born through Adam. We're all born in this. We got a problem. Our problem is not what we do. Our problem is who we are. He's like that frog and that scorpion on the bank of that river. You ever heard that one? And the scorpion says, would you take me across the river? I can't swim. And that frog says, well, I'm not taking you across that river. I get out in the middle of that river and you're going to sting me. And the scorpion says, well, what would I do that for? He says, if I sting you, I'll drown too. He says, well, that's a good point. Hop on, let's go. So he gets halfway across the river, and sure enough, that scorpion stings him, and they are going down. And the frog is dying, and the scorpion is going to die, and the frog says, why did you do that? And he says, I don't know, it's just in my nature. See, the problem with us is what's wrong with our nature. We're just lost without Jesus. And we're not going to get saved by any good thing we try to do, because as soon as we try to do something good, we're going to sin again, we're going to do something wrong. We even do that even as Christians. Hello, are you out there? Anybody ever lived a perfect day? I don't know. I think we ought to get up and try to do our best. I think we're living better than we were before we got saved. I definitely don't live the way I used to live. But to say that I'm perfect in everything that I do, I can't say that. I can't say everything I say is perfect and everything I think is perfect. I'm doing the best I can, but I'm trusting Jesus to go to heaven. Are you with me? And I'm asking him to help me with those things. I think there's consequences to that, and I don't need to live that way. I don't want to go down that road. But to say I'm living perfectly, that's like saying you drive a perfect day on a road. I don't think that's possible. You're probably going to touch that line or roll a little bit on that stop sign or maybe go over the speed limit a half a mile or more. But should you just give it up, throw caution to the wind, and say forget all the laws and forget even trying? No, please try for my kids and me. Try to do your best on the road. Even though you don't do the best you can or, you know, not perfect. You ought to, laws are good. Rules are good. We need to live holy, live right, and all those things. That didn't save me. This is our common salvation. Our common salvation is not all the different things we do in church. Well, in our church, we do this. Well, in our church, we do that. Well, we do our song service this way, or we do communion this way, or we do this that way, or we do that. Oh, come on. None of that saves us. Okay? That's not our common salvation. Our common salvation is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, we sing these songs, and we sing those songs, and we, you know, we have a piano. We don't have a piano. We have a guitar. We don't have a guitar. We got drums. We got, oh, come on. All of that's just personal preference. That has anything to do with being saved. Our common salvation is Jesus. Our common salvation is Jesus Christ. We need a Savior. Hallelujah. And it says here, let's go a little further. Until that the law was in the world, 13th verse, sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. See, the law came by Moses, but people still died before Moses. So what's that about? It says, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. You didn't do exactly what Adam did. That's not what he's saying, but we've all sinned in him. Who is a type of him who was to come? Adam was a type of him who was to come. He was a type of Christ in the sense that in everybody in Adam suffered Adam's sin. Everybody in Christ is going to benefit from Jesus' righteous act. Just like he was a federal agent, just like daddy, you know, if daddy does something, it affects the whole household. Just like the president makes a rule or a law or does something or take us into war or whatever, it affects the whole country because he federally represents the whole country, one man, but we're all under him in one sense. Now, I understand technically that's not true, but what he does affects the whole nation, just like the daddy affects the whole family. In this case, Adam affected the whole world because everybody came through Adam. Really, it's common. This is common to us all. Amen? 15th verse, but the free gift. Everybody say free gift. Woo! Not reward. Not something you earn, but the free gift. It's not like the sin or the offense that Adam committed. For if by one man's sin many died, all of us, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, that abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. The judgment which came from the one sin resulted in condemnation and judgment to everybody. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. As in Adam, judgment came on all and condemnation came on all and we were all lost in him. Well, through Jesus' righteous act, we're all saved. and we're all going to heaven in Him. That's salvation. Are you out there? He goes on and says this. Therefore, now that's 17 verse, excuse me. If by one man's sin death reigned through the one, Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. That's us. I believe in Jesus. How about you? I have been given the gift of righteousness, and I reign in life through that gift. Therefore, 18 verse, through one man's sin, judgment came on all men, resulting in judgment or condemnation. Even through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification. I'm no longer condemned, I'm justified. I'm no longer lost, I'm saved. Woo! Are you out there? Moreover, the law entered. Now, I keep skipping verses here. 19th verse. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, you were born that way, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. You don't attain righteousness by goodness or by works. You're either made that way or you're not. You know, I didn't choose to be a man and a human. I was born that way. Brenda didn't choose to be a woman and a human. She was born that way. You know why? Because her parents were humans. This is deep. I didn't turn out to be a cat or a dog or a cow, but my parents were human. And so let's go a little further. I was born into the human race, so I was born lost in that sense. You know, I needed a Savior. When I accepted Jesus, I was born into the family of God, and I was born righteous. Hallelujah. Somebody. Are you out there? So just a good old boy or people you see on TV just doing good things. Well, I thank God for the good they do, but that's not going to save them. You need Jesus to be saved. You need to be born again, as it were. Oh, goodness. I turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll close this out. Is this helping anybody? Our common salvation. Contend for the faith. Amen. This pretty well sums it up. I mean, come on. 21st verse, 15th chapter. Since by man, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. Wow. Now stop and think about that. You could say God saved us, and He did start the process, but God had to become a man to save us because the problem with mankind was man. And if you go into the old law and you look at even all the priests of the Old Testament, you know what they do? They'd bring a lamb, a male lamb without spot, without blemish. Every year, they'd bring it up to the altar, slit his throat, let the blood run down the altar, take the blood into the Holy of Holies, sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and for 1 year, their sin would be covered. And they're always looking for a lamb. That's what Passover's about. We just celebrated Passover. Jesus is our Passover. And so they would take a male lamb, and the requirement of the law that is a male without spot, without blemish, be slain for the sins of the world, or the sins of Israel. Now, if you take it over to humankind, where are we going to find a male without spot, without blemish, to die for us? Many men and women have died for us in wars and died for our families, but nobody ever died for our sins because no one ever could until Jesus came. Because He was the only male without spot, without blemish. He was the only one born from heaven and didn't have the sin of Adam or the taint of Adam on Him. So when John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Not the sins plural, but the sin of Adam. That's in everybody. Jesus is the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin of the world. Woo! Are you with me? And it had to be a man that did it, because that's what the law required, a male without spot and without blemish. A man got us in this mess. A man had to get us out of this mess. Well, that's a problem, because nobody's ever going to be able to get us out of this mess. Everybody's born in sin until Jesus came. Jesus, God Himself, became a man, spotless, sinless, and paid the price. What a man got us into, a man got us out of. The man Adam got us into sin. The man Jesus, who was God, yes, but also became a man. And died not as God, but died as a man. And rose again, not as God, though he is God, but he rose again as a man. And you know what he was called? He was called the firstborn among many brethren. He's called the first fruits. He came out of that grave, emptied it and conquered hell, death, and the grave, and because he rose, you will rise. He paid the price and overcame death and paid the price for our sin, and he is the captain, the leader of our salvation, the firstborn. Not the last, the firstborn. And you and I are the next born again, and the next born again, and the next born again, and the next born again, because the firstborn, Jesus, paid the price. Woo! That's our common salvation. And he says this, in closing, I'm really at this last, final closing. Since man came dead, by man came death, 21st verse. By man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Oh my goodness, did you get that? See, this is, what does that mean? In Christ. You heard that term before? That's all through the New Testament. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things come new. See, I'm no longer in Adam. I've been born again, now I'm in Christ. Y'all go through the scriptures, especially Paul's writings, where he talks about being in Christ, in him. See, I'm something else now. I'm not who I used to be. I'm somebody else now. My nature has changed. I'm now born again. Hallelujah. In Adam, I was dying, but I'm not in Adam anymore. That's the whole point of being born again. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. Jesus is the one that said it. In fact, 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Oh, I love that. And he came into his own received him not. And John, the Gospel of John, 1st chapter says, 12th verse says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power, the authority to become the sons and daughters of God, who were born not of the will of flesh, nor of man, nor of blood, but of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what I've done, you've done. That's why we're saved, not because we're International Outreach Church out people, not because we go to church on Sunday, although we should, not because I'm nicer, although I am. I'm a whole lot nicer than I used to be. Just take my word for it. But that's not what saved me. I'm saved because I'm in Christ. I'm saved because I've been born again. This common salvation is about being in Jesus, in him. It's about calling on his name. Hallelujah. See, that's what the scripture says very plainly about being in Christ and being saved. Romans 10:9 says it this way. It says, whosoever calls upon, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. 13th verse of that same chapter says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pure and simple. One of the most quoted verses in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He doesn't hate you, he loves you. But he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life is not in all the good things I do, although I should do good things. Life is in my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God forbid I'd quit believing and trusting in him. I don't want to trust in anything else. Are you with me? I don't want to go down that sin road and quit trusting Jesus. I'm going to trust Jesus. He's my only hope. Hallelujah. And that's why we're saved, and that's our common salvation, and that's what we contend for. And don't you be fooled, and don't you be deceived, and don't you be lulled into the spirit of the world when you see so many things going on and so many good things people do and think everybody's okay. There's nobody okay without Jesus. I'm not okay. You're not okay. We all need him. Good news is they can all call on him, and you ought to be praying for him. Amen.